It's been a delight teaching the book of Timothy again. We'll go right straight into 2 Timothy when we finish with 1 Timothy. We're talking about slaves and masters. Slaves and masters. We don't think much about that today. A lot of the world, all of the Islamic nations have slaves. You know that. They have many slaves. The men have sex slaves. They can have four wives, and they have all the sex slaves that they can afford to support. In America, we know that's happening here, undercover, of course. We do have slavery, and that's what we're talking about there. But we don't have people that are bought and sold on the slave market like they were. Now, the United States of America had a war over slavery, didn't they? I don't know whether you know the political science of America or not. Abraham Lincoln was debating with Stephen Douglas, I believe it was, that was running for the presidency. And Stephen Douglas basically believed that each state had a right to make its own decisions of whether it had slaves or not. And Abraham Lincoln was on the deal that morality had something to do with the nation. The nation had to have a moral structure to it. Well, when Abraham Lincoln was elected president, immediately some of the slave states started leaving the Union. Immediately. They said, we came here voluntarily, we're going to leave voluntarily. And it wasn't, you know, the Proclamation of Emancipation, none of this had happened yet. But as the states left the Union, Lincoln wanted to bring them back. Now, Lincoln was in the Republican Party. The Democrat Party was the ones that were what we call the Southern Democrats. The Southern Democrats were for slavery. That's where your Southern Baptists come from, was the Southern Democrats. And Southern Baptist churches they were not integrated whatsoever. You know that. Some of my teachers taught segregation absolutely. You want to go listen to Conrad Nathan Glover, you go listen to him. He believed in segregation of the races, and no exception. They go on their own churches. Now, I will say this, that the slaves had churches. They did have churches. And most of those slaves were Baptist, by the way. Because on the plantations, sometimes two or three plantations around close to each other, they could have a meeting and they would have a slave preacher. They'd get up and preach. And they would be preaching, and they were Baptist because most of those people were Southern Baptist. You have to realize where Southern Baptist came from. Well, we had the war. During the war, Emancipation Proclamation took place. And then we have the 16th Amendment, which gave, there would be no person would be sold or bought against his will. Nobody can be indentured. Do you know that one of our presidents was a former slave? Which president, do you remember which one that was? It was Lincoln's vice president the second time, Andrew Johnson. And that's why he was so hard against the slave states. One of the senators had a black wife, and he fought real hard for black rights, and he wanted to give them the right to vote immediately. And Abraham Lincoln had a terrible time convincing the man just to sit down and let things go slow. He said, we can't. He said, I have a plan that we'll go confiscate all the black slaves. We're going to confiscate all of the slave owner's property, and we're going to turn and we're going to subdivide that or divide it up and give it to the slaves. And we're going to run them off. This is what we had after the Civil War with Jesse James and the Daltons. This is what happened. You know, the Daltons and the Youngers and the James. That's why they did what they did. And I told you before that Jesse James was hid. And Frank James was hid from Baptist church to Baptist church. This was all about slavery. Now, slavery was in America. England and some other nations had already done away with, dissolved slavery. America was a little bit slow doing it because the whole southern economy was built upon slavery. The northern economy was built upon slavery. But the way they did it is they put you in their company houses, company stores, and you couldn't get out of there. Your children went to work when they were 5 years old. They worked the whole family. See, there was slavery still going on. In the north, there was slavery, but it was called different. This is what we call big business and the big manufacturers and the Industrial Revolution, so-called. People were killed and lived in terrible working conditions in the north. Up until 1869 in Southern California and Los Angeles, they were selling Indian slaves on slave auction blocks in America. But the 16th Amendment was against that, Proclamation of Emancipation. But it wasn't for the Indians. It was only for the blacks. In California, in the 1800s, a Mexican could not own property because they considered that he was at least half Indian. And if you were one quarter Indian, you could not own anything, nor did you have any rights at all. The last Indian in the state of California, Ishii. You know, you've heard the story of Ishii. Ishii's family were killed. Indians were hunted like big game. Into the 20th century. You have to realize this is, we're coming all this slavery business and everything else. Finally, you know, in the 70s, the 60s and 70s is when we had the racial riots and everything in America, and the American Indians, you know, they didn't have any rights to vote. Did you know that? And many states wouldn't give the Indians rights to vote. Finally, in the 70s, they got rights to vote. And not only that, but they got a right to believe what their ancestors believed. They could have freedom of religion. But we have the Bill of Rights that said you have freedom of religion. But they weren't given freedom of religion. This is what we call civilization. We have to look at all the good things and the bad things. When you're looking at stuff like this, you have to look at all of the evidence. What is going on? What's going on? Let's go back now to the first century. Back to Paul's time. Over half of the people in the Roman Empire were slaves. Over half of the people in the Roman Empire were slaves. Now, some of these slaves were pastors of churches, and some of the masters were church members of the churches. Some of the masters were pastors of the churches, and they had some of their slaves as members of the churches. They hadn't come to America yet. This wasn't segregated yet. All right. Isn't this silly? Let's look at some of this, what we practice. Many practices that Baptists have had, I'm only talking about Baptists because the rest of people don't make no difference anyway. They don't have any foundation to start on, period. Zero. They have no foundation. Baptists, sometimes the doctrines, the dogmas, the practices that they have come right out of hell. They're not from Baptists. They're not from the Bible. Show me where many of the practices that Baptists have are out of the Bible. Those that are out of the Bible, we must adhere to them. Those that are practice and dogma, you know, you practice something long enough and then it becomes a doctrine. It becomes a dogma. What is really truth and what is dogma? Let's go on now as we look at this. Hosoi, Asen, Hippo, Zogon, Douloi, Tous, Idios, Despotos, Passos, Timaeus, Oxios, Hegeis, Thoson, Hina, Mei, To, Onoma, Tuthiu, Kai, He, Didaskalia, Blasphem. I can hardly read this through all my scribbling. Blasphe, Mete. As many as there are under yoke. Look at that word, zikon. That's the term to yoke an ox, isn't it? These people were under slavery. And then slaves. The word douloi there is doulos, is what it comes from, and it comes from to bind. These people were branded. They were branded, and a lot of times they had handcuffs on or manacles on them if they thought they were going to run away, because they wanted to make their people secure. And that's where the term came from. This word douloes means one that is bound. One is bought and paid for and is owned by somebody else. Under the yoke of slaves to one's own masters. Despotos. Despotos. You know what a despot is? It's an absolute authority, aren't they? A despot, you don't question a despot, do you? Now, in a few places in the Bible, the Lord is called a despot, despotes. We're using it as a Hebrewism where it comes from Adonai, King of King, and Adonai HaAdonaiim. And we're going to get that a little bit later on in this book. Their own masters of all honor. Look at that word temes there. It comes from temio, doesn't it? The word Timothy means what? Honorable to God. Timaeus is this word right here. It means to respect. Now the slaves are supposed to give respect to the masters, and the masters are supposed to give respect to the slaves if you're a Christian. Okay? Treat them on different, on the same. A slave is not lesser than you are. It's only because he was born that way. What made you born a master? Rich. Why are you born rich? Did you have anything to do with it? No. Whatever state you're born in, you have no control over that, do you? And that's what the whole letter is about. Make honor worthy. Let them consider, in order that, not the name of God and the teachings, it may be blasphemed. It may be caused to be blasphemed. In other words, masters, honor your slaves. They may be your slaves, you may own them, but honor them. You know what Paul the Apostle did there in the book of Philemon? He told the old boy, he's turned that man loose. Set him free. God set you free. You set him free. Now that was one demanding, that's what you call a promissory note. If he owns anything, if Onesimus owns you anything, you put it on my bill. I will pay you. I will pay for his price as a slave. That's something. You know, Paul the Apostle was dealing with one man. Onesimus ran away from his owner. And he was, Onesimus means profitable, but he was unprofitable. And when he got in Paul's company, he heard Paul's preaching and he got saved. And they told him, I run away from this Christian over there and all this kind of stuff, and I feel really bad about it. And what do I do? You know, slaves, if they were caught and run away many times, they could be crucified, couldn't they? They could be crucified. The slaves here in America, they would beat them. Sometimes they would beat them to death. Sometimes they'd hang them. A girl slave didn't own her own body. When the masters, when they get up so big, they would rape them. That's what they did. You know, she's my property. The Muslims do that all the time. They do that. That's what they do today. It hasn't changed in that outfit. And all honor and respect worthy, oxios. Oxios. That means way down the scales. Let them deem, let them consider, in order that not the name of God and the teaching, the doctrines of the church, the teaching of the church may be blasphemed. Ephesians 6 and 5. Titus 2 and verse 9, Matthew 11, 29. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Become my slave. My burden is light. Colossians 3, 22. And holds the whole book of Philemon. It's all about slavery. 6 and verse 2 now. Hoi de pistos, ekontes despotos me kata fro netosan hote adelphoi asen ala malon du letosan hote pistoi asen kai agapetoi hoi tes euergesios. Antilam bonomenoi. Tauta. Didaske. Kai. Parakale. That's a long verse. Moreover, weak adversity conjunctive particle. Moreover, the ones believing, having masters. The believing ones, who are these now? Sharon, who are these guys, ones believing, having masters?
Well, they would be slaves.
They would be slaves, okay. Now, he got after the slave owners, and he's going to get after the slaves, okay. The ones believing, having masters, not let them down mind, literally. Let them down mind. Let them look down upon. Look down their long noses at them. Don't you do that. Third person plural present imperative active. Do not look down. Do not down mind them. Because brothers, they are. You're brothers. You're a slave owner and you're a master. Well, that's your brother. Look at your brother because your brother is also, you know, you're a slave too. Because he's your brother is a slave, so that means you're a slave too. A slave to who? Who is he a slave to?
To Jesus.
To Jesus. Here a couple of years ago, they put out in the quarterlies here, the Southern Baptists put out in the quarterlies about people being slaves. That disciples were slaves, church members were slaves. Boy, they got all excited about that. They come to them, Brother Phillips, what's that mean? You know Greek. I said, it means slaves. Bought and paid for. Because Jesus said, oh, they don't like to look at that like that. They don't want to be called slaves. Jesus bought and paid for you, didn't he? You're not your own. You don't own yourself anymore. You think you own yourself? No. I don't own myself. I'm Jesus. Jesus owns me. I'm his slave. And I'm gladly his slave. You're glad you're a slave? You glad you're a slave, Pamela? You like being a slave. Slave to Jesus. But strong adversative conjunction. Page 15, of course, that comes from in Zondervan's Analytical Greek Lexicon. Rather, let them serve as slaves because believers they. And beloved, the ones in good service. That means the ones work good. Receiving in return. That laying hold of and receiving in return. This is a present participle, masculine. Present participle, masculine. Receiving in turn. These things you teach. You teach. Didaske. You teach his doctrine. This is doctrine now. He said this isn't something you want to do or not want to do. This is a demand from God. This is doctrine. This is a commandment from the Lord. You teach this. And you parakale, second person singular, present, imperative, active. And you admonish and you exhort, that is. You exhort and you admonish. Christian brotherhood exceeds the laws of the state. Christian doctrine exceeds the laws of the state of California. It exceeds the laws of the state of Arkansas or Oklahoma or Texas or any place wherever it is. It exceeds the laws. If you live in any land, the Bible is higher than the laws of that land. Now you're supposed to obey the laws of the land, except when? When it's contrary to the law of the state, to the Bible. Now, Paul's own words right here, what is he saying here? Masters, those boys you're holding with the legal letters that you have a bill of sale for, they're on equal grounds with you. Now, Paul told you that and you had 50 slaves. What do you think you might do, Brother Rocker?
Leave the church.
That would be economically right, wouldn't it? You got to just leave that place. I'm not going to let these slaves be on the same ground as I am. Leave the church. Exodus. Well, maybe you ought to just set those slaves free and just kind of like the slave in the Old Testament, go to the house and hold your ear out there and poke a hole in it and say at the doorpost of the ear and say, I'm a slave by willing. I'm a willing slave. no longer, I'm a slave, all right, but I'm a willing slave. We should be willing slaves of Jesus Christ. A. Tis. Etero didaskale. Kai. Me. Pros erkete. Higianosen. Logois. Tois. Tu kirio. Himon. Esu Christu. Kai te kot. Eusebion didaskalia. Now, Paul is writing this by inspiration, and you do believe in the verbal, literal inspiration of the Bible, I hope. That's what I've been teaching all my life. The plenary inspiration of the Bible, I mean, is totally. I don't believe in the King James as the Word of God. I don't believe that. I don't believe the New American Standard is the Word of God. I don't believe in the New International Version or Living Bible or any of that kind of stuff. But I believe in the original language. God breathed that language. God inspired that language to be put into order at that time. So it can't be twisted up. If we all studied Greek, we'd probably all be Baptist. Of the same order and faith. Because it won't let you do anything else if you really follow it, is it? Does it? You won't be a five-point Calvinist either, will you? There's problems with that. You study the Bible. You study the Scriptures. I believe that every tense, mode, and voice is inspired of God. Absolutely. And I prove that to you, all of you that have been in my classes very long. If anyone hetero didaskale. Now, this happens, doesn't it? So how does this first class conditional particle, how should that A be translated? How should it be translated, Brother Roger? I will give you the rule. The first class conditional particle, the condition is understood as fulfilled. So what is it? No condition at all, is it? Since this happens. Since this is happening. Since some are teaching differently. Third person singular, present, indicative, active, and the indicative mode is what rules that particle. That particle, the condition is understood as fulfilled. Since some are teaching differently. Now this word heteros there, that means total different doctrine. A total different doctrine. If somebody's teaching a different doctrine than this, let's find out what's going to happen. And not he hold himself in. Look at that. If he doesn't take a hold of himself, it means to hold in. Pros and erkete. All right? If he not he controls himself or approaches himself. It's a metaphor, by the way. Being healthy, words. These words are what? What words? The words of God's Word. The words of the Bible that as you're receiving it. The words of the Lord of us. Who inspires the Bible? Who inspires it? The Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, I will send him. The Father will send him. Who sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's right. We have a triune God. We don't have three gods. We have a triune God. These are the words of Jesus then, aren't they? These are the words of Jesus. The Apostle Paul was taught by Jesus, I think it is, for 3 years out in the wilderness of Arabia. He took him out there and taught him for 3 years personally. How long was he with his church? 3 years. How long was he with Paul? 3 years. Three's got to be something there. The words, the ones of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. And to the according, now look at this word here. Humane relationships. Human and humane relationships. This piety here. Your humane relationships should be according to who owns you, not who you own and how much you have. James, the Lord's brother, wrote the book of James. And what did he do? Half of the book of James is about what? Rich cats looking down on the poor cats. And he slashes them, doesn't he? And he said, you know who's in control of all this? The Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth. He uses that term. That's a Hebraism there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. He's the one you got to answer to. Don't worry about the sword that Rome has. Don't worry about the state laws. Worry about the laws that are written down in God's word. The Bible says, what? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet. All these words here. All of these commandments. Just think about that now for a while. All of these commandments. How many exceptions to that rule are there? There aren't any, aren't they? Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's donkey or horse or cow, his wife or whatever. You shall not do this. Except. Do you see the exceptions? Where is that exception?
In Islam.
That's right. Thou shalt not kill anyone at all unless it's permissible. Unless it's permitted. You shall not take a man's wife except if he's an infidel. And then he's yours. Whatever your right hand possesses is yours. That's your power, your might. Whatever your might is, your might possesses. What is this? This is absolutely diametrically opposed to that doctrine, isn't it? If anybody brings a different doctrine than this, don't believe it. Don't believe it. He said, don't listen to Muhammad. Don't listen to the Southern Baptist. Really? Did he? Don't listen to the Southern Baptist. Don't do that. Look at this. Southern Baptists would have never worked under the First Timothy because they wouldn't have these blacks in their same churches with them. And they weren't about that, even though the blacks had been released after the Civil War. I went to the seminary in the 60s and 70s, and that stigma was still there. There was still separation during that time. Black churches and white churches didn't commingle at that time. It was beginning to, but it was exception to the rule. Some of those old buzzards, old preachers, they'd walked into these churches nowadays where they got yaller and red and black and blue and everything else all over there, they would have, they wouldn't like that. Every now and then you had a good dissertation on the Ku Klux Klan. How wonderful they were. They took care of business. When the state and the law and civil justice wasn't doing their job, the Ku Klux Klan would do it. They'd come in with their hoods on, do all this kind of stuff. When a woman was a widow and everything, they supported her. They did all these kind of things. One of the largest Ku Klux Klan group that ever hit California was in Taft, California. There's a lot about that. Every politician in Bakersfield and Taft was in the Ku Klux Klan. Every one of them. All the sheriffs, deputies. Couldn't do anything about it. How were you going to prosecute them? These are guys. These are the ruling elite. They went round and around and around over that. Boy, I tell you, people got killed and hung and everything else. Beat. Over slavery. I remember my sister and her ex-husband moved to Mississippi. And both of them were rough characters. They lived on the wild side. They moved to Mississippi, and my brother-in-law's uncle showed up to the house with about 10 other brothers of the Ku Klux Klan. They had their hoods on, and the uncle took his hood off and went in there. Everybody else standing around there with the hoods on, their gowns and stuff. He said, I'm coming back as your uncle today. If you do here in Mississippi what you've done in California, we will take you out and beat you or kill you or hang you. You're not going to act like that here. He said, I won't come back as your uncle again. This is the last time you're going to see me as your uncle. When I come back next time, it's to enforce morality and the law of our community. They left and came back to California. They did. They didn't stay there. Left. They wanted more of that. Well, you know, there's good and bad sides of all that, isn't there? Didn't allow that. Brother Madden told a story one time where this little boy came to church and his mama was very poor. The father was an alcoholic. And the boy worked real hard to take enough money home to feed his drunk father and his poor mother. And they had a carnival thing there, like a fair, carnival, 4th of July thing. And they had this grease pole deal. This grease pole. If you climb this grease pole, you grab this award up there, and you would have a ham. You could have this big, yeah, like 30-pound, big ham. These had big hams back in those days. Brother Madden said that boy tried and tried and tried. He's just starving to death. Tried climbing that pole. He said, this big old man there, big old guy, that boy slipped off of that and took that kid and slammed him down in the sand, just slammed him down in the sand. All the men running around, they were going to kill this man for slamming this boy down dirt. He said, now, boy, he said, go climb that pole. He said, get plenty of that sand on you. Sand's traction. He climbed that pole and got that ham. He was so excited, he took that ham home, and his dad went out and sold it for booze. This happened. The Klan found out about it, put their suits on, you know, their hoods and all that kind of stuff, but went over there, took that old boy out, and beat him half to death with their belts. They took their belts off, and they beat, and they beat, and they beat, and tried not to have any life left. And they put him on a boat and sent him down the river and said if he come back, they'd hang him and burn him. He left. They were free. They were free. A good Klan story. But is there one? Teti fonte. Teti fote, that is. Mayday. Epitominos. Ola. Nusan. Peri. Zetostes. Kai. Logomachias. Ex. Hon genete phithonos eres blasphemia hyponoiae ponere. Third person singular perfect indicative pat. It's either indicative or middle voice. Probably here middle voice, according to the context. He has been puffed up, blown up for himself. Nothing understanding. All right? Calls to be are puffed up. Nothing understanding, but being diseased. The only time this word's used in the New Testament, nosone, being diseased. Present participle, active, nominative, singular, masculine. Being diseased. Have you ever seen somebody that is so radical that they're argumentative about anything that's raised? You can't raise a subject that they don't want to argue about it. That's a disease. That's a sickness. That's what it says here. Okay? Being diseased, sick, about concerning zetases. Questioning, zealously debating, arguing, and word fighting. Going to war with words. Going to war with words, debating. War with words. Out of witches comes for itself envy, strife, blasphemies, suspicions, and evil. Let's look at each one of these words. Out comes for itself. Third person singular, present, indicative, middle. This causes Ignorance and superstition cause a lot of things. Ignorance, conceit, and self-pride cause all of these things. Envy. You hate a person because of their good fortune. Well, you're very jealous of them because of their good fortune. They got a better house than you. They got a prettier wife than you. They got better kids than you. They have a swimming pool in their backyard. They got a pretty car. They got a better job than you. They were born up. They were born up in the upper crust on the other side of the tracks. Why? I was born so poor that everybody was up. I told you about them Mexican boys. Five brothers fought me the first day I went to school and wanted to kill me because I had new shoes, new shoulder, new pants, and new shirt, pants. Everything was all brand new. They thought I was some rich kid. They threatened to kill me. I fought every one of them at school, crying and bawling going on because I thought I'd never been around other kids before. I was raised by my great-grandmother and my grandmother. I didn't know what kids were like this. First day I went to school, I'm getting a fight with these people all mad at me. They follow me home. They find out where I live in this shack with no door on it and a dirt floor. And they invited me for dinner. Because they lived in a house with the windows in it and the door on it. I didn't know what I was. I wasn't black. I wasn't white. I wasn't Mexican. I looked different. I was Indian, you know. They didn't know. I guess they hadn't seen any white Indians or American Indians, what do you want to call it? Envy, strife. This means arguing. It means splits. It means striving. This means to strive you, the archer, in splits. Little bitty Baptist churches so many times fight over nothing. They will fight over what color to paint the bathroom in the church house or the parsonage. They will. They'll fight over this and over that thing. They'll fight over anything. And they'll nominate their best friend for no matter what. You know, back in the old times, I heard a preacher preach, I think it was A.T. Powers. He said he had, when he was in this one church, he said he'd go out in quarter time church. You know, they only had services once a month. He went out to this church. This church had a big old a stove in it. And everybody was chewing tobacco. Women and men, they'd get up and spit at the stove and go sizzle. And the church voted to buy cuspidors, you know, spittoons for the church. They didn't know how many, so they decided to buy five of them. Well, this one brother there, he always would, "I nominate my brother Jones." Always to be whatever. My good friend. He didn't know what a cuspidor was. He knew what a spittoon was, but he didn't know what a cuspidor was. They nominated, they were going to install five of them, and he said, "I nominate my brother, good brother Jones, to be one of them." People, ignorance, blasphemies, to rail against someone, rail against each other. And then we have the hyponoia. Hyponoia means to look around, to look under, to try to figure somebody out. These are the ones that are spies. These are the ones that what we call, they put those listening devices in your telephones. They used to do that. A pastor I knew went back and pastored a church in the South. And they had bugged his telephones, his bathroom, his bedroom, and everything else. The church did. Members of the church.
Bedroom?
Yes. He found out about it. He left. Run off. But some person in that church, in one of the deacons in that church, had the ability to do this. He was working for like CIA or FBI or something, and they wanted to know what their pastor was doing, talking about what he's going to do with the church, so they bugged the house. This means to have suspicions. This means to be paranoid. This means to always look around and try to undermine you. It literally means to undermine. Undermine is what that literal, hypo and noio. Undermine. Undermine. Always trying to undermine somebody. There's quite some words in here, aren't they? Poneria, that means twisted, evil. This means evil perfected. This means practiced and perfected evil. Good at it. Blasphemy, that means to rail against, by the way. We know what blasphemy is. In the Bible, blasphemy is saying that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. Isn't it? That Jesus Christ did not die on the cross of Calvary. That Jesus Christ didn't come to save sinners. That Jesus Christ wasn't in that grave. That Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected. That's blasphemy, isn't it? We know that's what blasphemy is. In Islam, blasphemy is saying Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is God the Son, that Jesus was crucified on the cross, that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's blasphemy in that religion. But in Christianity, it is blasphemy to say what they say, and in Islam, it's blasphemy to say what the Christians say. Well, the Christian Bible has a whole lot more evidence than Muhammad had. A lot more evidence. A lot more what we call foundational, a lot more stable foundation. History tells you in the Old Testament who was who and what was what. It goes all the way back. If you go and have your DNA tested, if you get a map, a DNA map, the Bible says that all mankind started over there in the Middle East, doesn't it? On the DNA maps, you'll see all of your ancestors going back until it comes over there and goes zip in one little place, just like the Bible teaches. That's DNA science, okay? The Bible says that the earth was one piece of ground at one time and the water was one piece of ground. Now we know that science says that they believe that the earth was Pangaea at one time. It's also called Gondwana. And that the earth was divided. The Bible says that the earth was divided in the days of Peleg. Just right after God confused all the languages. These things. Muhammad said that God hung the sky up there with invisible pillars. And the sky is as heavy as the earth, and it could fall on the earth if God didn't hold it up with these invisible pillars. And the earth is flat. They had somebody go back, I think it was in some synagogue, not synagogue, but in some mosque someplace, and laugh at them saying that they believed that the earth was flat. Then they killed him. I think they stabbed him 37 times or something. I can't tell you the name of the place, but it was back east someplace. The earth is not flat, is it? The Catholic Church taught that the earth was flat, didn't they? Or do you think that they, do you think Muhammad might have borrowed something there or whatever? Borrowed some ideas. The Bible never said the earth was flat. The Bible said the earth was a circle. All right, look 6 in verse 5. Dia para tribe. Dei phi thar menon. Anthropon. Ton nin, or noon that is. Kai apester re menon. Tais alethios, nomizonton, porismon, ena, tain, eusebion. Constant wranglings. Look at that word. Really, really, really compound word. Constant wranglings. Corrupted in mind. Constant rubbing is what it says. Mutual irritations. You ever be in a room with people like all the people in the room like to fight? They just got together to fight. It's like walking into a bar room sometime, a bar room brawlers. Everybody wants to brawl. They're all corrupted in their minds. Dia para tribon. They're constantly in a state of being thoroughly and beside full of trouble and problems. Full of tribulation. Having been corrupted, having been thoroughly corrupted, perfect participle passive, genitive plural masculine. having been thoroughly corrupted. How do you think they got thoroughly corrupted? You know what? It'd be a really good thing if you could get all the whores, all of the whoremongers, all of the liars and the thieves and the bank robbers and the con artists saved before they joined God's churches. Wouldn't it? When you get it's real hard to make a lost person a good church member. I'm telling you, it's real hard to do that. To make a good church member out of a lost person. It does happen every now and then. But it's real hard to do. You get them saved first, and boy, do they got a different heart. We're talking about these bad people in churches. Having been corrupted. Men. The mind and having been deprived. Completely vacant. Of the truth. Void. A vacuum of truth. There is no truth in that. There are preachers out in America today preaching that are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor the full counsel of God. Most messages you hear are a psychological treatment. Uplifting psychologically. I preach the Bible, and whatever comes along flops. That's the way it is. People have asked me, preach on morality. I said, I'm not there yet. I'll be there. Don't worry about it. And then when I get there, it's too much. Because I'm just letting the Bible say what it says. I've had people come into church when I was preaching and they had some secret sins or terrible thing. Maybe they were a homosexual or whatever, you know. Thief or liar or drunkard. And we go in there and I just happen to be preaching on that subject today. That's what's there. You know, when you preach verse for verse, book for book, it takes a lot of guesswork out of what's going on. You just let the Lord take care of it. This whatever flops, flops. Having been completely vacant, vacuum of the truth. Imagining, nomizonton, imagining, considering that religion is a good way to make money. Religious panhandlers. When you get a preacher stands up, Brother Madden, again, there's my standard, you know, that's a high standard to reach. Brother Madden, when he went to the church down there, he says, I don't care what you pay me, that's up to you. My Social Security, that's up to you. If you have a pension for me, that's up to you. I'm coming here and I'm going to preach God's word. You take care of all the rest. I'm a moderator trader and that's all. Don't ask me what I want. You tell me what you're going to give me. One time church was paying him so much, he said, I just wish that you'd just give me my salary and whatever I don't use, you can have it back. I don't need it. Paying me too much. But some people can't get enough, can they? I remember Oral Roberts, send me $10 million. I can't remember what it was. Or God's going to kill me. Well, God ought to killed him. Right then, right there. He should have killed him. You can have all kinds of examples of this situation. When a church asks of you more than the tithe, that's going beyond their boundaries. A preacher ought to get up and teach about tithing, and a church ought to give. Matter of fact, the tithe is the Lord's. What you give after that, that's your giving. The tithe is the Lord's. It's not yours anyway. Whatever you give of that is what you're giving. When I pastored New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, we did not have an offering plate, nor did we take up offerings ever. We had a missionary come and preach for us one time, and the church was all excited, and somebody made a motion that we take up a collection. And they said, well, we don't have collection plates. I said, well, there's a pot in the kitchen. We never took up for collection. What we used, they voted to give them some money. But this time, I don't know. I think we got some new church members in there or something. Something happened because they voted to take up the collection. People would come to church and they want to give to the church. And they said, you didn't have a collection. I said, no, we don't take up a collection. They said, why? We don't need one. People give. We paid for everything. They gave. They supported the pastor. They supported missionaries. They did all this stuff. I taught them and they had to do it. I depended on God to convict their hearts to do it. I didn't wrangle them at all. I've been in Baptist churches where they passed the offering plate 3 or 4 times. I've been in Pentecostal churches where they passed it 10 times and kept saying, I know there's somebody out there got a $50 bill in their pocket. God just told me that. And that's not yours. And I'll take $3 and I'm going to put this $3 down here and I expect everybody to put at least that much in the offering plate. I've seen this. Have you ever seen this, brother? Oh, I have. That's what you call religious panhandlers. It's right out of hell. Not from God. Profit, a way of making gain. All right. Supposing that money, profit, to be godliness. God gave me all this big house and gave me all this stuff here. Look what God gave me. Well, how did you get it? Did you work for it? What's the Bible say about working, Brother Roger?
Don't eat if you don't work.
You don't work, you don't eat. Simple as that. A girl, a lady, if she was 60 years old, she could might be enrolled on the widow list if she'd done what? Had been a servant to that church for years before. The young girl's supposed to do what? Get married and have kids. All right. That's the way it is. The Bible teaches those things. God blesses us. How many rich people do you know that are ungodly, that have all your neighbors around you that have all this money and they don't even know the Lord? Brother Madden told me one time he was pastoring a church back in Louisiana. This man called him and said, come over here and make my wife repent. Our son had appendicitis. He's in the hospital. And now last night, the hot water heater blew up. I know she's doing something wrong, not me. I'm a godly man. Come over here and talk to us. Get her down on her knees. Something going on in this house. He went over there and he said, do you think that all those people up there in the hospital, do you think every one of them is terrible, terrible sinners? She said, well, I don't know. How about, do you think those Christians up there, that everybody's in the hospital, that God's punishing every one of them? Well, I don't think so. Then why do you think that you're being real bad and you're being punished because your son has appendicitis attack and he had to have an operation? Yeah, but the husband said, yeah, but the hot water heater blew up too. And he said, well, he said, how many hot water heaters blew up in this town, this little burg last night? Well, I don't know. They said when we went down to get another one, they said that they'd had a whole rash on these things lately. I mean, run on them and everything. He said, all these guys sinners? And the woman started crying. He said, Brother Madden, why do you put up with us? He said, well, I put up with you because I'm one of them guys too. I'm one of them sinners too. Superstition. Superstition really is a horrible religion, isn't it? Superstition is a horrible religion. Superstitious. Long time ago, close to 40 years ago, I handed out that little Doctrines of the Bible book before it was ever printed as this in lessons. I had people out and I said, don't look at the Bible verses. You tell me what you think that should be those answers. They put down some weird stuff. It was all superstition. What they'd heard and was handed down to him. What we need to put down in our minds and really log down is what is in the Bible, what is real teaching and what is real doctrine, what is our ideas and what doctrine is. Baptists practice some really hellish ideas today. They do. And I've exposed some of that a time or two, you know, now and then. Well, there's your message for tonight from God's Word, 6:1-5. Do you have any questions? We'll get into some more of this personal stuff. We got about 21 verses. So we got a few more to go, a couple more weeks. You have any questions? Pamela, you got any questions?
No.
All right. You happy being a slave? You happy being a slave, Roger? How about that?
As long as Jesus is my master.
Yeah, as long as Jesus is your master. It's nice being a Jesus slave in it. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Go out and do something eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you for your word tonight. Apply it to our hearts. Help us to be willing slaves. I know we don't have a lot of these things to face today, but we have the things that are in our, that are vernacular to us today, that we have to deal with every day, that are just as foolish as some of the things that we believed in the past. Help us to know what those things are and to just flush them with our superstitions and to follow you with all zeal in our hearts. Help us do something eternal today. And we know that we can take these things with us that we do eternally.